So this morning I want to tell you about a study that I've been involved with. It's a long-term study on the metapopulation dynamics of ants on some small Bahamian islands. Oops. I'm just going to briefly go over the methods here, and then I'll show you some pictures so you can get a better idea of what I've actually done. My main study site was in the Exuma Keys, and I surveyed the ant faunas on 85 small islands there annually from 1990 to 1994. And then I started going back in multi-year intervals after that. One of the reasons for that was because there's really not a lot of turnover going on in these ant faunas, so I wasn't missing much by going back and doing multi-year intervals. I also surveyed ants on a couple of other archipelagos in the Bahamas in the multi-year intervals indicated there. The last round of surveys was last year. There's no single sampling method that's equally efficient for all ants in a community, so I focused my efforts on the guild of ant species that were active diurnally and attracted to the baits that I used, which were tuna and oil and honey. And the number of baits was proportional to island size, and I only surveyed islands that were smaller than 1,000 square meters of vegetated area. Islands that were larger than that, I couldn't be certain that I was getting a thorough species list. So, this is the northern and central Bahamas, and here are my study sites. A, this is the central Exuma Keys here. B, these are islands off the northeast coast of Andros, and islands near Great Abaco up here. This is an aerial view of the Exuma Keys, and the islands I surveyed would be the smaller ones that you can see in this photo. Here's a typical small island in the Exumas. It has a rocky marine limestone substrate, not much sand at all on these islands, a little bit of topsoil in the center. If there's no vegetation on these small islands, there's no ants either. This is the most common species that I found. This is Brachymyrmex obscurior, and this is an example of type of a tuna in oil bait that I used. Here's Chromatogaster leucaena that's feeding in a drop of honey. And the baits were actually, I placed them on little plastic trays. I just have these to show you. It looks a little better without the plastic in the way. So there are different ways to calculate turnover. I use the classic MacArthur and Wilson island biogeographic approach for the data that I'm going to show you today. And the way this is calculated, it's simply you add the number of immigrations and the number of extinctions and divide that by species richness at time one and time two, multiply that times 100, and you get your turnover on a percentage basis. And if you have all the same, if the species composition is the same on the first time you visit the island and the second, your turnover is zero. If all your species go extinct and a totally new batch immigrates, then you have 100% turnover. So it ranges between 0 and 100. And these are the results for the first decade of this study, the first half really, the 1990s. And I'm sorry, this kind of ran together here in the final version, but here are the turnover rates right here for these three time periods and these two archipelagos. And you can see turnover is really low, about 1 or 2%. And this means simply that 1 to 2% of the species on an island are going extinct or are immigrating. And this is averaged over all the islands. And it's standardized to be on an annual basis. Since I had different, some multi-year intervals, everything here is on an annual basis. So it's all comparable. So turnover is absolutely low, 1 to 2%. Immigration rate and extinction rate, these are just absolute rates. You take the total number of immigrations, for example, for all islands, divide that by the number of islands, and again, standardize it by year. Low rates. But the thing to notice is the immigration rates are higher than the extinction rates consistently. In this time interval, for example, almost twice as much. So there's really not a lot of turnover of these faunas going on, or there wasn't in the 90s, but they were slowly, very slowly gaining species. Now, the 1990s didn't see much in the way of storms in the Bahamas. That all changed in 1999 when Hurricane Floyd came through. And since then, there have been, including Floyd, there have been four major hurricanes to impact my study sites. And so the question is, you know, what's the effect of these major storm events, these hurricane disturbances, on the turnover dynamics of these ants? And if you go to the islands after one of these storms, you can see fairly substantial effects on the small islands. This is a pothole. This white stuff here around the perimeter, this is marine limestone. This would be typically have some soil in it. In this case, all the soil's been scoured out, and you're looking at just the root mass of the plants that's left. Here, this is a bunch of vegetation that's been broken off and piled up on the top of an island. This is a larger island than I would normally survey, but I just wanted to show you how all these boulder and cobble-sized rocks have been washed up very high up on the shoreline of this island. So fairly dramatic impacts on the small islands of these hurricane events. They were pretty much all totally inundated by the storm surge. So what effect did that have? Here's the same table I showed you before. The numbers in white are actually the exact same numbers, so that's not new. The new stuff is in red. So these are the data for this decade, okay, and the exhumas. And turnovers, you can see, really didn't change. It's still in the 1 to 2% range, so still low. But what changed was the relationship between the immigration rate and the extinction rate. Previously, you had more immigrations than extinctions, but now in this decade, I'm seeing a lot more extinctions than immigrations. For example, in this first interval, there were 9 extinctions for each immigration. So the islands are now losing species, and at a much faster rate than they were gaining them in the previous decade. Now here you see the same information for Andros and Abaco. Have you seen these white numbers before? The red are the new. So in Andros, turnover has increased a little bit. It's up in the 3 to 5% range. But you see the same thing with the immigration rates and the extinction rates flip-flopping. You have extinction rates higher in this decade, not to the extreme that you had it in the exhumas, but it's still changed. And in Abaco, turnover, I only have this one interval, turnover is fairly high here, up to 8%. This might have to do with the fact that the hurricanes were a little worse up in Abaco, not sure. But again, you have the extinction rate higher than the immigration rate. So for the North and Central Bahamas, there's a really robust pattern of islands gradually gaining species in the 90s and now losing species in this decade. And for the exhumas, at least, is at a much higher rate than the immigrations were. Now, I don't want to give you the idea that there's really a whole lot of turnover going on, because there's not. Most of these populations are very persistent. And this slide shows that the proportion of islands with no turnover as a function of time. And so last year in the exhumas, almost 50% of the islands had the exact same species composition as they did back in 1990 when I first started the survey. For Andros, it's a little less. It's 30%. So there was no turnover at all on 30 to 50% of the islands that I had this long-term data record. And even on islands where there were turnover events, you may have one or two populations turning over, but the other populations are persistent. So it's safe to say that most populations have been persistent over this whole time period. But at least for the two most abundant species, and this is all I've really done this analysis for, they're declining in abundance. As measured by the proportion of baits occupied, here's Brachymyrmex obscurior. It's the most common species. It increased in abundance in the first decade, and it's decreased in this decade. And this regression line is a significant fit to these points. Dorymyrmex pyramicus, the second most abundant species, it's actually declined over the past two decades. And again, this linear regression function is significant. So at least over the last decade, both of these species are declining in abundance on the islands. Oops. Now, is this a result of the hurricanes? Well, I really don't think so. Hurricanes may be a contributing factor, but if you look at the structure of these islands, and this is kind of a cross-section, this is a higher island than I would normally survey, but I put it here on this slide so you can see what these islands are like. They're just riddled with fissures and cracks and galleries. And if the island were to be covered by the storm surge of a hurricane, there are a lot of air-filled chambers in here, I would imagine, that the ants could shelter the storm. And as long as the vegetation survives, the ants can survive. And you can come back to an island that's obviously been covered with water by the storm surge of a hurricane, and a few days later you'll find ants out there. I think the major factor that's causing the decline in these ant populations is actually climate change. And rainfall in the Bahamas has decreased significantly over the past 25 years. This is a 25-year data record. And you can see that it not only has it decreased, but it's become more variable in the last few years. So, in conclusion, I see relatively low turnover rates of ants on these islands. There's really, most of the populations have been persistent over time. In the 1990s, the islands were slowly gaining species. This past decade, they've been losing species. And at least in the Exumas, the extinction rates have far exceeded the immigration rates. And although many of the populations have been persistent, there is evidence that these populations are declining in abundance. And so a decline in abundance will eventually lead to an extinction. And while the hurricanes may have had some impact, I think that there's evidence that this decline in precipitation in the area over the long term may be having more of an impact than the hurricanes. And I'll take any questions if you have any time.
Yes.
Josh?
Is there a natural cycle of precipitation? I don't know much about Canadian weather. Is it possible it's natural, or is this like
change? So the question is, are there natural cycles of variability in precipitation, or is it due to climate change in the Bahamas? I don't really know. It's very hard to get good climate data out of the Bahamas, and I got this from the International Airport, where I can get the best data record, and it's all pretty sketchy, so I really don't have long-term data to look at that. Okay, so is there a relationship between extinction rate and island size? Is that the first part?
The changes in extinction rates you observed between the two decades and island size.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if I did that analysis or not. Previously, when I looked at the effect of island size, there was no effect of island size on turnover rate. I couldn't find that at all, and I think that's the case for this last round, too. It seems like it's just kind of a random thing. Some of these islands do have other ants that I don't sample with my methodology. So looking at total species numbers of ants on the islands gets a little tricky.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.